Next public hearing is subdivision 2013-2, Vesco LLC.
This is application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, for a 30-lot expansion.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, we are still meeting. If you wish to have discussion, please do it out in the lobby. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Lane.
I'll start over. Subdivision number 2013-2 is the application of Vesco LLC to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, for a 30-lot expansion to a preliminarily approved 183-lot cluster subdivision for a total of 213 lots on 162.95 acres, located east of Road 277, also known as Robinsonville Road, 400 feet south of Road 287, also known as Kendall Road, and being tax map ID 2-34, map 6, parcel number 90. This application was reviewed some time ago on the previous application. This portion of the site was intended for multifamily use, which was rejected by the commission. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, today we received a letter. It's addressed to the commission. In 2010, I represented Webb's Landing Homeowners Association regarding the subdivision with tax number 234-690, owned by Vesco LLC. My client was concerned about flooding and the drainage that will flow towards the Webb's Landing community if stormwater management is not properly accounted for, as well as about the environmental impact to Love Creek from on-site wastewater effluent. Letters from 2010 to the county engineer and conservation district are enclosed. I have been contacted with regard to the proposed 30-lot expansion to the preliminary approved 183-lot cluster subdivision, raising the total to 213 lots on 162.95 acres, as this proposal raises similar concerns. Thus, I would request that the commission take these concerns into account considering the pending application. Thank you for the commission's time, attention, and consideration in this matter. Should you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me. And that was signed by Seth Thompson, Esquire. I think he may have meant 2009. That's when the commission, you granted preliminary approval for 183 lots on October 22nd of 09, and the public hearing was held October 8th of 2009. Okay. As Mr. Lank said, there was also a conditional use for 30 multifamily units located within the project, and the commission recommended that that application be denied, and you recommended that they came back with 30 single-family lots since there were no multifamily units in the area. That's all I have.
All right, sir. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, for the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I'm representing the developer in the matter before you this evening. Concerning Love Creek Landing, I suppose it would be fair to point out to you that we're working with a cluster subdivision that was approved in October of 2009 that includes 183 lots. It's has a preliminarily approved site plan. At that time, based upon the recommendation of the Office of State Planning Coordination, the developer presented to you the opportunity to approve 30 multifamily dwellings. It was probably advice that my client wishes he had not accepted because, as Mr. Johnson pointed out, in October of 2009, it was not consistent with the character of the surrounding property and should therefore be denied. Mr. Johnson also said, I recommend that if the applicant chooses to integrate this section into the overall subdivision, then it should be expedited. Sadly, we didn't understand what the word expedited meant. We waited for Mr. Johnson's call, and of course, it's been 4 years since we've had the opportunity to come back and revisit you with the 30 lots subdivision. But what we have for you this evening is the 30 lot subdivision that was suggested be brought back and be incorporated into the cluster subdivision. The results of this particular application for incorporating this into Love Creek Landing, would be that we would still remain 162.95 acres, the maximum number of units as was applied for, and partially approved in 2009 would remain 213 dwelling units. The density of the project would still remain below 1.3 dwelling units per acre. And because this is in the a cluster subdivision, the calculation of those areas which would be devoted to homes or to streets or to rights of way as compared to the areas that are forested and would remain uncut, open space or for wetlands, the proportion still leaves this project with nearly 70% of the project devoted to those activities. I would point out to you that all of the conditions that were approved in 2009 as a part of the original application for 2008-8 would be those which would be appropriate for this particular application. Mr. Tom Ford from Land Design is with us this evening, and he is going to show to you how this fits into the project in the footprint of what was previously the 30 multifamily units. He will also address Mr. Thompson's comments in his letter about stormwater management. And then Mr. Ford, Mr. Daniels, the developer, and I will be available to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. I would, once again, invite anyone who has an interest in this application, would like to take a closer look at the exhibits, please feel free to get up and do so. Just do so quietly. Mr. Ford.
Tom Ford, Land Design, in Ocean View, Delaware. And I want to just make a fairly short presentation. On the top with the easel is the original application, showing the multifamily concept that did not sway muster here back in 2009. And what we're doing is really, we condensed a little bit of the plan. We took out a roadway system here and made a cul-de-sac with that. And so we just made some slight alteration there, and we placed back in the lots in here that was originally shown to Plus before we ever came here. This particular plan is very much what we showed to Plus, and that's where the suggestion of more affordable housing was brought up. The developer was in agreement with that, and we felt that the multi-use plan was a way to achieve a more affordable housing in the front portion of the property and so forth. So other than that real change, it has affected some of the land allocation aspects of the project. We had a little bit more reforestation with the multifamily, which we don't have with the single. But the open space, the preservation of woodlands and so forth has only been slightly adjusted. It is listed on your plan as to what those percentages are, and the impervious of this particular project, when all said and done, and we calculate that by using a federal guideline on TR 55, which describes, because you don't know what the houses are going to be, but they describe, well, if you're going to do a subdivision, X number of square footage is going to be used for driveways, walkways, so forth. Right-of-ways are all included in that. And we come up with a figure that's somewhere around 20% pervious after we finish this development. And that's all been reviewed by PLUS as well back then. Back when we originally presented to them, it was more like 18%. But because of the single family and the right-of-ways, it actually added a little bit more pervious to it. But it's still very low. I purport to you that this is a conservation design, that we did use good stewardship. We did some homework on our septic considerations. We had soils work done on a preliminary basis before we even started the design, so that we had an idea what before I even put the pencil to the paper, we identified where the best soils were. Was it a large enough area to handle 200 plus homes and so forth? And all our preliminary or cursory soil borings and so forth bear that out. That was done by a consultant, Atlantic Resource Management, Leif Erickson and Lisa Woods at the time. The concern in the file on drainage, I would like, and I only got that today, so I have a little handout that will help clarify my addressing it. Right here. The concern has been raised by Webb Landing that drainage and stormwater may become an issue to their existing subdivision that, along this line over here. The contours, though the letter was written by an attorney, I would prefer if it were written by an engineer, because there's in every piece of land there are sub drainage areas, and if you were to divide out the sub drainage areas, and you have to read the contour to do this, which that little handout does. There's a contour 15 in here which comes back on itself, and there's a gut that is a natural depression in the landscape that drains this entire area, including portions of this farm field up here. The one area that it doesn't drain is the area that is against the Webb Landing, but we are proposing not to disturb that area. And all proposed improvements would be in the other drainage area that would run to that gut. So there, by virtue of doing this, and it's only on a preliminary basis, but I can assure you that even during the engineering, we're not going to take down those trees, and we're not going to disturb that topography. And so what exists today is not going to change from what existed after this post-construction of this project. Because that gut that is a good 250 feet away from them will still end up being the outfall for any drainage that occurs in this area, including portions of that farm field above them. Address the conditions. So there's two parts of our original approval that we'd like to address, and that's condition A, which states 183 single-family lots, and we seek that to go to 213 to include the 30. And condition M, which requires the amenities package that we presented. And we have no problem with the first sentence or first two sentences of condition M. The third sentence can be read as a recommendation. It's not a requirement. It doesn't say you shall place your amenities central to the subdivision. It just simply says you should. And so to address that, and we never addressed it at our original public hearing, and I was surprised to see it on the conditions when we got it, but tonight's the perfect night to address it. And in regards to how the amenities were placed, we are basically preserving an area over here, trying to not have homes there, which will be a year-round situation. The pool and the crabbing here will be a seasonal situation, and we think we'll have less impact near the riparian area, and obviously we'll have a marketing impact to 213, should we be approved, homes. Whereas if we would have put a road in here and put in the additional lots there that we may lose elsewhere, or put the amenity in the middle here, it sort of could have a disturbance on those woods in the backyards of those homes that are there, whereas this is off to the side. It's amply away from Webb Landing and serves an area that all homeowners have a chance to enjoy the Love Creek, which is obviously one of the best amenities that this site affords. In addition to that, we sort of have a barbell effect on amenities because we have our tennis courts and our top lots up front and our swimming pool in the rear. So it allows a diversity of movement, pedestrian, bicycle, vehicular, throughout the community. And from a marketing standpoint, we'd like the commission to most likely void that last part of condition M.
Thank you, Tom. Gentlemen, most of the technical issues that would be normally associated with the application for a subdivision were resolved in 2009 by reason of the adoption of the preliminary site plan and approval for Love Creek Landing as a preliminary subdivision. Again, as we've pointed out to you, we came in with a conditional use for 30 multifamily dwellings that failed. We're coming back with 30 units as single-family dwellings in the same cluster subdivision concept as was applicable to the balance of the subdivision. If you choose to approve this, it would be because this portion or addition to the subdivision would not substantially change, if change at all, or even have an adverse impact on any of the adjacent properties, because it was consistent with that which you have already approved. It would have little or no impact on neighboring properties. It does continue with the theme of the original application that it have a low density of just barely more than one and a fraction units per acre. It would continue to maintain 60% or so of forested areas within the particular project. As Mr. Ford has pointed out, the lots mostly, or if you can tell from looking at the subdivision plot plan, the lots almost all mostly back up to open space. There are large areas of buffers and wetlands that are retained, and this particular expansion does nothing to change those. For these reasons, we will answer any questions you have and ask that you approve the application subject to the conditions that were previously approved and considering Mr. Ford's request for two tweaks in those conditions.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And once again, Mr. Johnson, this is in your vast area of responsibility, so you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the benefit of council, most of the sticky notes I use are reusable. And had I had a summary of what was being presented to us this evening before being handed the layout and handed the minutes of October 22nd of 2009, because as some people know, I do suffer from CRS, and
we're all suffering with you.
And while I did find a lot of things in favor of the previous project, I'm sorry, but I don't remember all those things. But having had an opportunity to revisit them, and unfortunately, I chose, or not matter choosing not to, I did not have the opportunity to come to the county office and have them dig up the previous information. So it'd be much appreciated in the future. Should we have a similar situation if you would present some of that, whether in a summary fashion or...
I hear your message, and we hopefully it won't be 5 years between appearances.
Well, we did expedite it because of the backlog of applications that we do have for subdivisions right now.
We note with some interest that we're application number two for this year.
Yes, you are.
Which seems to be better than perhaps it was last year.
So that's all long-winded way of my saying, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions at this point.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Burton.
I understand the application. I too was a little confused, but I have noodled my way through it, and I'm good.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I've got to kind of echo Mr. Johnson's remarks, but thinking this is a new application, is it not? A new application number has been applied to this?
We talked to staff about that, and in fact, if you take a look at the way it's published, it's got a new application number, but it indicates that it's expansion of a pre-existing subdivision. It got cut both ways. It has the appearance of being a new application, but in fact, it is an expansion of the old application. It does not require new plus comments. It does not require any submittals to TAC.
Obviously, didn't require, on your thoughts, a submittal of an exhibit book either.
Well,
I didn't see anything on this until.
Mr. Smith, the only thing that we were asking to do would be to add the 30 lots. All the material that would have been submitted in 2008 would still remain in effect. And my experiences with expansions is that we have not submitted new books for expansions.
Right. Well, I guess go back and forth on that. We're being asked to interpret, should or shall. I just need more information than what I've gotten here tonight. So
we'll be glad to provide it for you. You tell us what you want.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Ross.
There was a mention of more affordable housing in that 30 units that you're asking to add. What is your definition of more affordable?
The more affordable housing component was the requirement that set us off on the 30 multifamily dwelling units. In terms of being able to have affordable housing with single family dwellings, I'm not saying that the concept is voided, but as a practical matter, when you begin to make single family dwellings on 7,500 square foot lots, the intent of affordable housing is going to get lost in this. It's going to have to be compatible with the balance of the project and with the balance of the properties that are along this road.
No further questions.
We're just trying to refresh my memory as to what the renewed soils area is. Is that where there was some spoilage or something from the previous farm or something?
It was, I believe it was
a reclaimed area.
It was a lumber area, wasn't it?
Yes. We ended up doing an environmental impact study, phase one, and basically that has the history of what occurred there, but we do have a letter of, I think it's called FMA, no more action by the Department of Natural Resource, that everything had been remediated back in 2002, and they signed off on it in like 2006, and that there was no more action to it. And our environmental impact study reflected those documents as well.
Oh, that was probably in our booklets we had back in 2009.
Mr. Johnson, if you'd like to have another one from 2009, I'd be glad to share one with you as we speak.
I will before I make any recommendations on this project.
I'm going to leave the podium to Mr. Ford, and while he talks, I'll get the books.
I think you're supposed to do like 5 minutes of stand-up now or something.
I've always wanted this opportunity.
Well,
yeah.
While he is standing there, Mr. Chairman, I do have one a question related to this addition. And can you tell me, are there any wetlands in this area or close to this section that's being proposed as an addition? And if so, what setbacks are there from those wetlands?
The remediation area or the new lot area?
The new lot area.
There is a gut in this site, in fact, but we are minimum 40 foot off, and in this area, much more.
Averaged off of that area from any delineated freshwater wetland.
Okay.
So that's still in consistency with the original conditions. But there's no wet. It was all farmland, really.
Okay.
That we're
all old, right?
Can we accept this? It's not within the 15-day rule.
Yeah, it's
rule.
That's
is part of the record from 2009, but this is just not the cleanest way to run a hearing. I mean, we have a 10-day rule for submitting booklets. You know, there was obviously questions about the 2009 application, and, you know, we just had a few of them that would have been answered if we'd had this before. I mean, that applies to new information. I mean, I don't know that there would have been any problem with you asking staff to supply the 2009 booklet, so it's helpful, but...
Well, I think that the applicant can supply it as an exhibit from 2009 to which they might, as a matter of convenience, want to make a reference. It's not new material.
And the way Mr. Schrader talked about it, this was advertised as an extension to the prior application. So to the extent that this was part of the prior application, it's part of the record.
Already in the record.
Yeah.
And that was the approach we took to that, Mr. Robertson, because it is intended to be an expansion of the pre-existing application, and that application, when it was heard in 2009, described and provided information based upon the entire 162-acre tract for 213 units. The question was, would it or would it not be multifamily dwelling? And I'm going to assume without knowing, and perhaps you have an opinion on it, but anything that would have been a part of the previous approval is part of the record of this hearing because it is the expansion of a pre-existing subdivision.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. It's just
the
way it was handled, that's all.
How does that impact the clock?
What clock? Which clock?
The time of from the final plan approval to
Well, these guys would have fallen under the extensions.
We're under the extension ordinances, Mr. Ross.
So they're I mean, the 2009.
The expansion would just fall within that.
Well, the expansion's new. Expansion would be.
That's what I mean. So there's confusion as to whether.
Well, you've got a clock.
The expansions were applied for in 2012, and we're under the old. Excuse me. We're under the current expansion ordinance.
Right. 3 year.
That's really sort of a separate issue. I get the question. It's,
They have preliminary approval on their 183 units through the extensions, and the approval plus extensions and the county council's extensions are valid till January 1st, 2016 with their preliminary.
Anything else, gentlemen, that we can answer before you?
Let's see, where'd we leave off? Marty, you done?
No question.
No questions?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott, counselor?
No, thanks.
Okay, well, I have no questions either, so if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2013-2 Vesco LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2013-2? Yes, sir. Step right up right here, and then we'll go to this side. And
I'll pass them down for you.
My name is Steve Britz, and I'm a resident of Webb's Landing. And the letter indicates that it was written in objection to this request by Vesco to add 30 homes to the 183 that were already preliminarily approved. Now, although at first glance this would seem to be a relatively small increase, we believe it'll have significant negative effects on Love Creek and is likely to harm homeowners in Webb's Landing because of changes in stormwater runoff. And our reasons are as follows, and I would request that as I go through these arguments that you might want to look at the attachments. I have three attachments. The first attachment is a topographic overview of Webb's Landing and the Vessels property. With 2 foot contours. This was data downloaded from datamill.delaware.gov and based on LIDAR mapping. Now, the item number one the wastewater management for this community. So my understanding is that instead of tying into a central sewer system, as was one of the original options, the developers have opted to install their own community wastewater treatment plant with one or more drain fields in close proximity to environmentally sensitive parts of Love Creek and Webb's Landing and its community well. If we look at the attachment one, the topographic map, and if I may, I'll refer to this map over here simultaneously. If we look at the top part of the map, on the upper left-hand side is an arrow that indicates approximately where the septic drain field is planned, which would be approximately right here. And we want to draw your attention to an observation made by one of our local residents that this area of Love Creek doesn't freeze over in the winter when other portions do. And we take that as evidence that there's a relatively high flow of groundwater from the surrounding land into Love Creek at that point. And of course, that's right at a position where it would be able to intercept pollutants that would be entered into the land through the septic drain field. So we feel that this particular location of the septic drain field is going to be a special problem for Love Creek. And in that regard, I want to draw also your attention to the observation that has been made that there's approximately a 5-acre patch of horned pondweed that grows in this. And that may not make any sense to anyone, but it's actually, according to the Center for Inland Bays, 80%, when it was discovered in 2010, it comprised 80% of the total submerged aquatic vegetation in the entire inland bays. So that was that's a highly significant environmental area. And so we're very concerned that we maintain the water quality. We feel that if additional home sites are not added, there will be room for a wastewater treatment plant and drain fields in this area here along Robinsonville Road, and we would suggest that as an alternative. The area is already clear. There's quite a bit of land, and I think the drain fields could be installed in a way that would avoid the mitigated soils area for the lumber treatment area. And
Mr. Britz, I need to ask you this question, and I in no way do I intend to detract from your testimony. But it sounds like you might be testifying as an expert. Are you an engineer, a soils engineer, a wastewater engineer, or what were your qualifications?
I have a PhD in biology, so I'm trained in evaluating technical information, but I have no training specifically in soils or hydrology. Although Leif Erikson was a student of mine,
and I only asked the question because the rules require.
He's very good.
I'm only asking you because the rules say that I have to ask you. I'm not doubting your question.
I spent the night in Holiday Inn Express.
Okay, very good. We'll take that under advisement.
So I, as a further, excuse me, Mr. Ford, I'm trying not to irradiate
you, Mr. Ford.
Really?
If he objects, Laser's my expert. I'm going to be.
And just as a further suggestion to the developers, we think the development would be far more attractive if the wastewater treatment plant weren't here right in the middle of all these homes and also the drain field. So, I mean, I think there are benefits to the development by reconsidering the siting of the wastewater facility. And also, in the eventuality that the Wandendale water treatment plant eventually does get approved, and we'll see how that goes, if the wastewater treatment plant were in this area, and my understanding is that the sewer lines for Wandendale will run along Robinsonville Road, and so that would facilitate tying into to a central sewer system, which is certainly to be recommended for this development in any case for mitigation of the waste that will be created. Now, item number two, stormwater runoff. Now, we feel that the general increase in impervious surfaces, even though it's a relatively small percentage, will nonetheless increase runoff, while planned construction will impede natural avenues of drainage within the Love Creek Landing and direct increased runoff into neighboring land, that is to say, Webb's Landing. And referring back to the topographic map, the area in the center of the map indicated by an asterisk, there's a slow that facilitates drainage from the surrounding areas of high elevation, and the land goes up to 26 feet actually above mean high water in the vessel's property. But there's sort of a ridge that runs along the length, roughly parallel to Love Creek, at least 20 feet of elevation, and it slopes downwards towards Love Creek. So surface water will be running off towards Love Creek into Webb's Landing. But this slough, which I hope is visible from the map, is in a position where it will intercept runoff from the vessel's property and direct it towards Love Creek, which is a good thing. And so our concern is, and part of the difficulty is this plan, there appear to be several versions of the plan that are circulating out there. But if we look at attachment number two, it was presented to me by Mr. Lank as the plan B, which actually, instead of having the pool and clubhouse here, which is smack dab in this slough, and so this by itself will occlude water runoff in this area, in our opinion, they actually have a plan for approximately a dozen houses as another alternative version of their plan. So we strongly oppose any kind of construction, certainly not additional houses, and probably not even the clubhouse or pool in that area. Instead, we would like to suggest, according to plan, as has been depicted in plan B from the developers, that the clubhouse and pool possibly be sited in this area, even though that would involve cutting down some of the native vegetation. And as also we said, we oppose putting the drainage fields in this area where they're presently sited. Oh, excuse me. Yes, on attachment two, also indicates that an alternative drainage field, which is point number three on attachment number two, a secondary drainage field has been suggested to go right in this area, and that's clearly in a position where it could flow onto Webb's Landing. Now, again, I'll remind you, based on attachment number one, that this is in an area where it could run off into the community well for Webb's Landing. Unfortunately, that well does not show up on Sussex County's wellhead protection mapping areas. I'm not sure why, but it is a community well that services 34 homes. Now, we'd also like to draw your attention to a letter that was written by Mr. Seth Thompson. You've gotten a new version of that. That's attachment number three. Now, this letter was submitted in March 3rd, 2010, after the preliminary approval of this development had already taken place. And so, appropriately, Mr. Thompson addressed identical copies of this letter, one to Mr. Izzo in the engineering department of Sussex County, and the other to Jessica Watson, who is in charge of the stormwater management program for the Sussex Conservation District, and in which he asked them to take into account these issues of drainage, which, by the way, are not hypothetical. They are actual observations of fact, and other speakers behind me will talk to that. There is, by their own observation, water that runs off this property and onto their own land and floods Heather Drive in Webb's Landing.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
What I want to make sure that I'm clear on is I don't want to get the commission into rehearing what's already been approved. And that kind of sounds like the road we're going down. What I'd like to do is, if I could, just for the commission's benefit and mine, backtrack a second. Was this project, did it originally have central sewer, or was it tied into central sewer, or was it community sewer?
According to the book, because I looked at that, it does say community wastewater and public water.
Okay. Now, the next question is, the pool, the location of the pool, was that on the way it was originally approved? There was that recommendation that it be moved. And I guess my next question is there final site plan approval at all for this project?
No.
No, that's just preliminary. Mm-hmm. Because right. I don't want to get into the point where we're rehashing what's already received preliminary approval.
Well, what's been approved, and we're not objecting to this. We understand that 183 home sites have been approved with the amenities, but it's a preliminary plan, not a final plan. And so where everything actually goes, my understanding is that has yet to be finally decided. And so my arguments are to help guide that discussion.
Well, but I think that maybe is more for the final site plan review process, and we're not there yet. What we're looking at is a preliminary site plan for the lots that are an expansion to what's already received preliminary site plan approval.
Well, and my argument is that there is enough space for 183, but I'm not sure there's enough space for an additional 30. And again, dealing with some of the alternative plans that have been submitted, for example, if we put a dozen homes on a road in here, as was indicated on one of the plans. Now, that seems to be off the table tonight, but it's unclear to me. You know,
it's easier for me, and I think better for the process, to define for you what is on the table tonight. Okay, mm-hmm. That plan is on the table. I appreciate your comments about this plan, but quite frankly, they're irrelevant to the discussion because that's the plan we're talking about right now.
And well, that plan, so, if
which
I'm
of course
mistaken,
I've just heard about tonight.
But that's the same plan, though, with the street locations, I think, that received preliminary site plan approval.
When they submitted for the expansion, they had basically option A and option B in the fall. There's a small sheet that's similar to what Mr. Britz has submitted, which is attachment number 2, was a part of the application attachment. And we assumed that it was 2 options of design. So including 30 lots.
As it was explained to me, that the developers were offering to leave this up to the Planning and Zoning Commission to make a recommendation as to which plan they saw as preferable. And our suggestion would be actually neither, that there would be no development at all in this area because of the impeding runoff.
Okay. That's because Mr. Ross brings up a good point. We're talking about 30 units, but what I think I'm hearing you say, and Mr. Lank said, is that in terms of what was in the file, it was a number but not a location. There was 2 different alternatives. It could be out where the multifamily was, or it could be partly down where the pool
was. One
was
a large sheet, and then we had this in the file. This was attached at the same time in the file. Right.
Is this part of the 30 lots they're requesting?
Now that's where I am now, too, because that brings back in the relevance of what this gentleman's talking about.
It's true.
I feel the whole situation is confused. And I apologize if I'm adding to the confusion.
You may be shedding light on it for,
Well, so I think this is going to require some more discussion, but I would just like to add, without dragging this out anymore, is that there are also some issues with wetlands that have not seen addressed in any of the plans. And if we go back to attachment 1, on the left-hand side, you can see a thick arrow from the website for the Delaware Geological Survey at the University of Delaware, pointing to wetlands and an area of high groundwater. Now, these are state-mapped wetlands that show up on the Delaware Geological Survey map and also on the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. And this, the wetlands are approximately in this area here. Now, I attempted to overlay their plan. I don't have a good digital map of that to do, so I'm not trying to present that. The original plan that they submitted actually had a street that pretty much lay right on top of the wetlands. Now, that has disappeared, but some of these lots here do look to me like they could intrude on wetland. And in this area here, there is an area which, as you can see from the topographic map, there is a large depression. And in that area, the Delaware Geological Survey also shows that the depth to groundwater will be less than 3 feet, which could be a problem for development, even putting in crawl spaces or things like that. So I just wanted to draw your attention to that, that there may be some other land issues that need to be taken into account in developing the total plan that, in our sense, make it unsuitable for adding an additional 30 lots. I think that they can handle the 183. They are to be commended on the quality of the design. It's an attractive looking design by and large, but we just don't feel that it, as we've seen the submission, that it's going to work with an additional 30 lots. And finally, also they if you don't mind, just wanted to, the NRCS soils analysis. I got online to look at the NRCS website, and although this area is shown in red, and that must be an infrared view, if you get on the infrared or get on the NRCS website, this area all maps to being not at all or being suitable for a normal gravity septic flow system. So there are no impediments in that area, according to NRCS and the soils analysis for a septic system. Since that came up, the soils analysis, I just thought I should add that. Because if one looked at that map and one's familiar with the system that NRCS uses to color code their maps, red is usually indicates severe limitation. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, sir, you're next.
I'm Warren Sandberg, and I live in Webb's Landing. And I, too, rise in opposition to the addition here, this development, not necessarily to the 30 lots per se, but what implications that will have for Webb's Landing and, as I'll speak to, my property specifically. Two of the points have already been mentioned, and I won't belabor those, one being the effect of wastewater treatment, having a community septic and drain field system within, I'm guesstimating, about 300 feet of Love Creek. That doesn't seem to be a good idea to me. Also, the flow of stormwater, which not only affects potentially Webb's Landing and draining into Love Creek, but my property is on the cul-de-sac, and I have a little dog leg of the property which abuts the applicant's property. And already I have experienced in the brief 2 years that I've lived there, when there is a heavy rain, there is a good stream of 1 to 2 inches coming from the applicant's property, going across Roland Hill's farm through my yard to the cul-de-sac and then beyond into Love Creek. So, my concern is, of course, with the tremendous amount of impervious surfaces that will be created in this development versus how it exists now. I mean, I'm very concerned of what that does to that stream that comes during a heavy rain. So certainly would want any consideration to be given to the topo study, the soil study, to make sure that there is certainly no increase in what I experience in my property coming off of the applicant's property. And also I want to point out that that's the first time I've seen this proposal with the pool and clubhouse within, I'm again guesstimating, about 500 feet of my property. Not necessarily looking forward to the noise that's generated there, but, you know, hey, never bought the property with the idea that there was never going to be any other development around there, so, you know.
Could you say that again? Because I believe I've been up here for 20 years. I have never heard anybody say that. And I would like you to just say it one more time. Because I want to make sure I heard what you said.
For the record, I never purchased that property with the idea that there would never be any other development around there. And that's based upon my 35 years as a banker financing commercial real estate developments. So I understand that that happens, you know. So my concerns are really the effect that the placement of the community treatment plants or septic system, whatever you want to call it, to me seems like very risky having it that close to Love Creek, and then the issue of the stormwater drainage. So those are my objections. Thank you very much.
And we thank you very much for your comments, all of them.
Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Not to this gentleman, to Mr. Schrader, Mr. Ford.
Sure.
After looking at what was called Plan B, and I'm going to repeat myself probably, but I just want to make sure I'm clear and everybody else is clear. What we've got here in the big sheet and what you all have been working off of is essentially what has preliminary site plan approval from the prior subdivision application, with the addition of the 30 lots in the vicinity where the townhomes were denied. I think that's correct.
The answer is yes. Okay. There's 26 proposed in that area.
Yeah, okay.
There's four more somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And the pool is in the same place that it was shown
exactly.
On the preliminary site plan. Yeah, that's what it looks like from that booklet. So this was just shown as maybe like a worst-case scenario type thing if the amenity was located to an interior spot like the recommendation in the conditions.
You'll have to excuse for the miscoordination. That was a plan that was developed to see what the impact would be, but I was surprised to see it being presented here tonight.
Okay. So this is just sort of
our
tool to say that.
Our application was the plan, the 24 by 36 plan that we submitted.
Okay. But you also submitted that small sheet that showed that alternative.
That's what's been misleading
all along.
Yeah. And I think I understand it. Now it's to show that if we had to comply with, I'm using your words, stand in your shoes, if we had to comply with that condition that recommended the relocation of the pool to an interior spot, this is what you could end up with.
Yes,
I think is what the goal of that was. Okay, so it's information maybe, but not site plan related, I think.
The application is predicated, it used to be there.
Yeah, okay. So again, yeah, but the location of the pool, that's what was on that preliminary site plan. Is that the same, is it the same general area where the wastewater treatment and drain fields were?
Yes, that's all remained
okay.
The same.
Okay. Thanks. I didn't mean to belabor that, but I just wanted to see if I could get it clear in my mind.
And I know it, but it bears just one more time. The preliminary plan that was approved for the 183. The wastewater improvements are still in the same place. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's based on soil surveys.
I know.
I have to tell you, Bob. I think he's very sensitive to this whole plan. It's, our original intent was to use the farm field, but the soils don't bear the inherent characteristics to support.
And I understand that, and as I say, I take nothing away from the gentleman's intelligence level.
No, okay? it's pretty...
But I understand he is not an expert, and he was testifying to a number of things that were highly technical, okay? And I get that. My main concern is that we understand
that these things are not being proposed to be moved from where they were shown in the original 183
approval. Correct.
Okay. That's my main concern, and I think that this other option plan B is what may have been very confusing for both the public and perhaps for us to some extent. Of course, this is one of the purposes of a public hearing, is to figure these kind of things out, bring them to light, and try to address them. So,
can I ask one more question,
yes,
too, about the
yeah.
wastewater? The wastewater was it, and you probably haven't done much engineering on capacity yet, I guess, but the drain fields, they were sized to handle not only singles, but also the townhomes?
Okay, the engineering for the drain field is yet to be done.
Yeah,
of course.
What we have here is a report, and it's a fairly extensive report from Lake. I mean, just if you looked at that drawing, every single triangle you see was soil borings that were occurred throughout the entire site. So he's got a multitude of grid lines he ran to get a cursory view of the soils. Okay, there's a long road to hoe in getting the engineering approval and getting DNREC on board, and we're going to have to do hydrological testing for groundwater discharges and things along that line. And then the treatment plan has to be engineered, and removal of nitrates and phosphates have to meet the TMDLs. All that is after preliminary approval occurs.
I think it bears stating, too, that whether it's 183 or 213, that's a maximum number that depends on all those other factors falling into place.
Correct.
So you could very well end up with less based on the science, and that's all, that's what my concern is, that make sure that it's on the record and understood that the science from this point forward is going to trump any maximum number.
Right.
You may end up with something less simply because you can't accommodate it.
If that disposal system says we can have 300 units, that doesn't mean we can have 300 units.
No.
It would still be the 213 or the 183.
But if that disposal system says you can only have 150, guess
it's
what?
It's only going to be 150.
You're only going to get 150.
And we would have to decide where we were going to take away lots.
Right.
I guess my question was more that we were talking about whatever it is, 213 then, when we were talking about single families and townhomes, because you applied at the same time, I think, for
yes,
the whole
yes.
thing, and we're talking about the same number now. So I don't know that how much relevance that particular issue has, for the same reasons Bob talked about, too.
I can't resist the temptation to try to add clarity to it, but I know I often sit in the position that Mr. Robertson does, and for the benefit of the people who are sitting behind me, the one thing that all of us who are in the front portion of the room, because we do this for a living, know is that whatever the preliminary site plan approved is, that's not the way it's going to look when it comes back for final, because there are 26 regulatory agencies that are going to begin to push and shove the various component parts of this project. A little here, a little there, we need this, we need that, and it ultimately does not have the same appearance nor the same scope that it looks like tonight.
It's difficult for us to get our heads around the fact that we're trying to isolate the impact of 30 more units, and I can only imagine what the public is struggles with, that notion that it's hard to look at this and think of what we're doing tonight just to try to isolate the impact of 30 more units, and it's a difficult process, to say the least, and
I think we answered Mr. Robertson's question.
I think you have. If you would,
and
take
I, and
a
I
seat.
Guess I would just instruct anybody that's in opposition to keep that in mind, that we're not going to go back and retry the prior
subdivision. Not retrying the subdivision. There's a subdivision that's been approved, and that can happen. What we're really talking about is what is the impact of 30 more units, and who's next? All right, sir.
William Payne. I live in Fulton Pines. I mean, my old address. Sorry. Webb's Landing, and Lois.
Old habits die hard.
Right. Because there's a mix-up, it seems, here of what's been addressed, I assume that there were two planes, so I'm addressing, I'm opposing both planes.
That's fine.
For the, basically, they both placed a wastewater disposal field in an environmentally sensitive area. And you say this has already been approved, this is fine, but you have the right, when you're adding more to it, to make other conditions to get these additional homes in.
Okay.
Furthermore, there are no stormwater management for the northeast side of the development. There is a pond that runs through right there by the road. It's more decorative. And that catches the water from the woods on the other side of 277. But there's approximately the northeast side of that development, there's no wastewater management ponds. And I think the swimming pool area is the lowest area that you could put one in.
I think you mean stormwater
management. Stormwater, yeah.
The stormwater management ponds.
Right, stormwater.
All right. Well, we'll try to address that.
Okay. At first glance, this looked like a simple choice between two applications. We're down to one. But basically, it allows the wastewater treatment plant within 400 feet of Love Creek. Census Council required the retreat on Love Creek directly across from this development to move back over 400 feet to the tree line. The whole development was moved back. This has a wastewater field within 400 feet of the creek. This seems to have worked since a rare field of the horn pond weed discovered in the last few years exists in this water. At one time, grass grew throughout the inland bays. We are now down to a few acres. Also in this area of Love Creek is a large area which my wife and I have observed over the past 18 years that very frequently, it doesn't frequently freeze.
Okay.
And it's a large area that we've seen hundreds of geese in there at the time. It's the size of this room just about that doesn't freeze. There's a large groundwater, and that's just about where the septic waste field would be in the creek. You're within 400 feet of where the groundwater is coming up that keeps it from freezing during the wintertime. The lower part of Love Creek has deteriorated, and its health has been rated D by the Wetland Health Report Card. I have submitted this before, so you should be familiar with this report that it's D down the lower part. Obviously, because grass is growing there, this upper part has been protected because we've had forest on both sides. Now the forest is going to be eliminated, and in the worst case scenario, you're putting a waste field for this waste water right within 400 feet. Now I know it's been approved, but as I said before, you have the option to make changes to approve additional.
But I don't know that we could make changes.
We really can't. I really don't think we have as much latitude as you are suggesting.
I think we have. I think if you'd say, we would vote this way if you do this, you have the right to do that. I'm not a lawyer, but certainly I think you would have it.
Well, let's just keep this to...
He's a lawyer.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me go on.
Let me
instruct you a little bit. Let's keep this to the impact 30 additional lots would have on the project or Love Creek, et cetera. Because it sounds, again, like you're addressing the entire project and the wastewater treatment area. You know,
the issue at hand is 30 more lots.
Right. Okay. So I'm asking you not to approve it if you have to keep the wastewater plant where it is.
Okay. All right.
Is that
fair enough?
Clear that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We must protect what we have and not allow more pollution from wastewater disposal fields. The proposed field is not only too close to Love Creek, but is also too close to major groundwater supply of Love Creek. The latter is substantiated by the fact that there is a large area that rarely freezes. Wastewater disposal fields tend to have a high rate of failure. For example, the woods on Herring Creek and the plantation. It is imperative that all new developments in an environmentally sensitive area be connected to large treatment plants that can meet the most extent and most extreme standards. And if this is allowed to go in where it is, I hope you, at least you put the conditions on when the line is run that it must be, this development must be connected to the wastewater treatment plant. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to testify and or speak in opposition? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions? Before we close the public hearing, just do want to thank those of you that did testify. It is helpful. It was illuminating, even though it seemed like it got awfully confusing. I think we do have an understanding now of what's before us, and we will be taking all of your comments into consideration. And with that, we will close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.